Some German words make it into the global vocabulary, and I can think of a recent example. Of course, Olaf Scholz, the German chancellor, coined the term Zeitenwende after Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Michaela, can you think of a couple of examples, German words, international use?
Well, there's the usual kindergarten, I guess, but nothing or the Zeitgeist. And that has certainly changed. And the German Angst is also pretty tangible these days.
Yeah. But there's also kitsch, for example. You know, Doppelgänger is a German word. Sometimes it's not just words. Sometimes it's entire sentences that make it into the global discussion. And we've got a famous example right now that kicks off this episode.
Motiv, in dem wir an diese Dinge herangehen, muss sein, wir haben so vieles geschafft, wir schaffen das. Wir schaffen das und wo uns etwas im Wege steht, muss es überwunden werden.
Michaela.
Well, that's the German, yes, we can. Nothing to do with Obama. And that was Angela Merkel on the 31st of August, 2015, also known as the Summer of Migration. And just a few days later, I was actually in Hungary, where the buses came, busing people mainly from Syria to the border with Austria, who then traveled on to Germany. And now, almost 10 years later, some 1 million Syrians are here. And looking back at their country and wondering, do we want to go back? Can we go back? Is it safe? What will happen?
Absolutely. And you also have to say that the discussion has changed, of course, because of the fall in Syria of the Assads. We want to bring in our expert for today, Raphael Bossong. Raphael, what would you say, where do we stand 10 years later after Angela Merkel made that famous statement that, by the way, also has a Wikipedia entry now, even in English?
Yeah, all right. That's a big entry. Well, obviously, it's very politicized how you answer that question. I personally would say that, of course, there are quite a lot of remaining issues depending on, you know, labor market access, labor market participation, general capacity of the German state to host not only Syrians, but many, many other refugees. And while legally they are under a different regime, practically, of course, that also means Ukrainians. So in that sense, there are many open sort of construction sites, let's say. So we can't say done that checkbox. At the same time, I think this kind of fundamental optimism that Merkel tried to project at the time is, I think, valid. I mean, I don't want to be naive here, but Germany is still some minor, you know, disturbances functioning. There is no breakdown of the welfare state or public order or you name it. But of course, some political actors try to portray the situation as such. So in the longer run, of course, these kind of issues are only really be able to be sort of clearly answered yet even more 10 or 20 years down the line. So I think we've made the first stretch. Now we're at a time when really there's the question of how many of those people who came back then will be actually become long-term and fully part of German society, will become Germans. And then with their children, we will see how actually this all pans out. So it's a matter of two and three generations. So it's still an ongoing process. I think we are on a journey and we have a long way ahead, but I think it's something we can still manage, yes.
I just want to throw in there some figures to back up what you're just saying. I think everybody can decide for themselves whether they feel that Germany actually made it. It was almost 1 million people who came. Today, 42% of Syrians are part of the labor market. So that is actually below average, although there's some distortion in those statistics because many have also become German citizens and they are no longer in that migratory statistic. And they are the second largest group of migrants. Ukraine, there's more than 1 million Ukrainians here in Germany, and a very low number of the Ukrainians has actually entered the labor market already, despite the fact that they are culturally and also language-wise much more easily able to integrate into Germany. Now, currently, we have this debate on whether they should have easy access into the German social system. But almost a decade on, many Syrians who are highly qualified, and to bring it back to the political level, the prime minister who stayed on from the Assad regime, calling on Syrians to come back, assuring them that it's safe. So clearly asking what is perceived to be an elite, highly skilled people to come back to rebuild Syria.
Yeah, and interestingly, of course, there's also overwhelming support for the idea here in Germany to keep skilled people who have found jobs in the country. And it's not just a general interest because you find the people interesting. Actually, there are entire sectors here in this country that depend on skilled workers who have come to the country in recent years. And our colleague Giulia Saudelli actually looked at the situation in the health sector, because the federal minister for health warned after the fall of the Assad regime that if Syrians were to leave Germany, then we would lose a big, big chunk of people who have crucial jobs in the health sector.
This is a far cry from his work treating war injuries in the Syrian civil war. But in 2015, Ala Al-Daf left the Damascus hospital where he'd worked to come to Germany. Now a doctor on an emergency ward just east of Berlin, the 38-year-old treats very different injuries. Still, the German hospital now feels like home.
It feels like a big family. That's what I needed, actually. And we have, like, we experience a lot of things together, like emergencies. Some days are worse than others. Some days are great. So that's what I like, this adrenaline rush I need also, and I get it here, in addition to a great team, so I couldn't ask for more.
Al-Daf is one of the around 6,000 Syrian doctors in Germany who work in hospitals or doctor's offices. Syrians make up the largest group of foreign doctors in the country. And now the sudden fall of the Assad regime has raised the question, what would happen to Germany's healthcare system if these doctors began returning to Syria?
We have the same problem in almost all hospitals, where vacancies are difficult to fill because of demographic trends. We have an aging population, including among doctors, who are leaving the profession, and relatively few younger ones are coming in, which is why we are dependent on doctors from EU and non-EU countries.
Al-Daf's hospital supervisor says he has become an essential member of her team. She says his experience back in war-torn Syria sets him apart, but if he returned, she would lose a valuable colleague and a friend.
I don't think our health system could survive if all those colleagues from other countries would go back home. Even now, with all the Syrian doctors here in our hospitals, we're looking for colleagues.
Al-Daf was overjoyed when he heard about the end of Assad's regime, but he says it's too early to tell whether he'll go back.
I can tell you, or I can assure you, that me, like many other of Syrian people in Germany, not only doctors, but Syrians in general, long to go back to a home which is stable, where we can live like in peace and dignity. So if our home could provide that in the next few years, I think a lot of people would consider going back.
Today, Al-Daf has German citizenship and says his place right now is in Germany doing the job he loves. But he is full of optimism for Syria's future and says he can't rule out going back one day.
So, Rafael, we've just looked at the health sector there, but Syrians also work, for example, as crucial people when it comes to putting up solar plants in Germany. Can you just give us an idea of how significant Syrians are for the German economy and which jobs they have?
Well, I mean, there have been many studies, and just yesterday there was another headline saying that at least 80,000 Syrians, so maybe more or less 1 in 10 or a bit more of still registered Syrian nationals, and then there are some Germans by now, are working in critical sectors. And whatever critical sectors are is also subject to debate. We know this discussion from Corona, but meaning logistics, meaning care work, meaning construction, and so on and so forth. So things that keep the country running, basically. Yeah, I mean, it's always a dilemma that Syria, of course, as well, needs really qualified workers and people who bring skills and bring new normality, perhaps, to the country. So we really can't just be selfish and say we want them, we want to keep them, and so on and so forth. And at the same time, for those who are maybe thinking about migration rather differently, of course, stories, as we just heard, are sometimes sort of received as, look, we only hear about the model cases, but what all about the others who are jobless and are receiving welfare? And we also have to acknowledge that there are a lot of them who haven't gotten yet that kind of participation in the labor market. So it is a mixed picture. And for Germany, for Syria, of course, and it will take time, and not only to take time here for yet more integration, and as I said, for second and third generations. I mean, there are also many Syrian children who have been born here and they don't know the country back home, but also, of course, for Syria itself. So it's just the beginning, and hopefully a reasonably stable beginning, but it's too early to tell. And Syria, while it has a need for people to return, also just couldn't absorb if there was a large movement going back home now. So I think while, of course, the debate is hot now, experience shows these issues really need a long, long perspective to work out. And I think that also needs to be really clearly communicated in the political space.
Yeah, and I just want to add, this clearly is a premature debate. While we see on the border with Lebanon many people returning back to Syria because they're also actually being pushed out by the dire conditions there, it's very different here in Germany. There was a poll done that showed that 90% of people actually wouldn't want to go back right now. I've been part to a classified briefing with diplomats who actually already traveled to Syria. There was this German mission there. And I can say that the conditions they described, in my perception, are very unlikely to lead anyone who's currently in safety with stable food supplies, services, health supplies, to be in any rush to head back to Syria. So time will tell. And this is exactly the question right now, because we don't even know which political group will get the upper hand. At the moment, there's this rebel group HTS, which is coordinating. It's kind of a grouping of different factions. So at the moment, it's the moment for big politics in that region and seeing which way this country will go.
Yeah, and yet, instantly after Assad fell, the debate started here in Germany. What's going to happen to the Syrians? And we saw a very different conservative CDU party compared to what we heard earlier. If you think about Angela Merkel and how she said, well, obviously, we're going to welcome people who need protection into this country. And now the focus of the debate by the current leader of the Conservatives has changed. And Jens Spahn, one of our former ministers here in the federal government of Angela Merkel, he came out very, very clearly saying, we can pay everybody who's willing to return €1,000 and we'll book charter flights and then we'll take them back, and very much setting the tone for the debate.
Yeah, though, when you put it like that, you're fast forwarding almost a decade of development also within Angela Merkel's camp.
Because, it was not a sudden jump.
Because
that's
what
true.
We did see policy-wise is that asylum laws were tightened and throughout.
And not just by the Conservatives, also by the Social Democrats.
Yes, also the Social Democrats. So that is at the end of a development. And we are entering an election campaign where migration will play and is already playing a huge role.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're looking at snap elections here in Germany on the 23rd of February this week, of course. This is a Berlin briefing. So this week also saw Olaf Scholz, the German Chancellor, lose the requested confidence vote in Bundestag. So officially, he then went to the German president and said, all right, can you call fresh elections? And obviously, when you listen to the debates happening in the Bundestag this week, you can tell they're all out to win as many voters as they can, from the far left to the far right. But because of events in Syria, this topic, migration, is, of course, has jumped very, very high onto the agenda. And there was a debate in the Bundestag, and we've got a summary. Let's just listen in.
On the one hand, Syria seems far away. And on the other hand, very, very many people have come to us in recent years. But, and this is important to me, people have been living in our country for decades, including colleagues among us here, whose families and friends have been victims of this Assad regime. And this is another reason why the fall of this regime is important, and good news for the people here in Germany.
And I say that Germany has a special interest in a good, peaceful development of Syria for two reasons. On the one hand, because we stand for Israel's right to exist, and because we want stabilization in the region, for this reason in particular, that it protects Israel's existence. And secondly, because we have so many refugees in our country.
Assad had barely arrived in Moscow when the CDU was already demanding departure incentives for migrants. Mr. Hart, you need to hear this. What exactly is the point of this in the current debate? Why are you unsettling the many Syrians who are here? Why are you unsettling the many skilled workers we have who have Syrian roots? They are keeping our country running.
We can't seriously send people who meet the requirements of employment immigration back to Syria in order for them to apply for a visa and then re-enter Germany. And we cannot seriously say to the employers who've invested their hard work for over 10 years, have invested money to train people and accommodate them, that they now have to get rid of the Syrians who work for them. Syrians who are integrated, who recognize our basic law, who provide for their own livelihood, are welcome here. But unfortunately, this is not the largest group. And the lie that every Syrian is a skilled worker has long since collapsed. Why is the remigration of Syrians who are not willing to integrate in Germany's interest? And above all, in the interest of our pensioners? We have 1 million Syrians in the country. Those people who have come here because they were seeking protection, and especially those who have been naturalized, who are integrated here, are part of our society, and we will defend that. And then there are people from Syria who want to go back to their home country at some point to help build it up, because it is their homeland, because they feel a duty to their homeland. We also support this.
Since 2015, more than 160,000 people from Syria have become German citizens. According to the Federal Employment Agency, as of May this year, more than 226,000 Syrians were in proper jobs. They also work mainly in occupations where there are shortages. 22% of Syrian men work mainly in transport and logistics professions. 14% work in the food and hospitality industry. 11% work in healthcare, 9% in construction. 28% of Syrian women work in social professions, for instance, as educators, and 80% work in healthcare. If these people all have to leave us, then it will be really dark here.
So, Michaela, we also do have to acknowledge that there were big crimes that, or there have been crimes committed by Syrians in Germany that made big headlines and, of course, had an impact on the debate here.
Yes, and they had an impact. They came actually in the run-up to regional elections here in Germany. We saw that attack by a young Syrian man in Solingen. And this sparked a huge debate here in Germany also about the effectiveness of the German system. He should no longer have been in Germany because he entered the European Union through a different country. So the authorities basically failed to send him back. And it raised a lot of questions over the risks and about radicalization. Although experts highlight this, a lot of this radicalization is actually happening within Germany. It's not people necessarily coming from outside who are already radicalized. Having said that, what we are seeing also in this debate is that the whole question of asylum seekers coming is a transition in real time from an asylum debate to a migration debate, a debate what protection is Germany willing to give people to what migrants, what kind of migrants does Germany need in terms of skill sets?
And this is a very... What is in Germany's interest, right? And this is a decade that we didn't have. For decades, we think about the so-called guest workers in the 1960s, where everybody expected them to leave, people from Turkey, Italy and so on. And of course, now they have grandchildren here who barely speak Turkish.
They're an integral part of German society. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
But there was not this recognition that Germany actually is a country of immigration. And I think that's what you're probably pointing to, that when you look at the debate about the Syrians in Germany, you can really see the struggle that Germany still has in terms of defining its own interests when it comes to saying we need skilled labour, we need people from abroad, we want a diverse society, but we want to be more in control of who actually comes here. We also don't want to give up on our values, so we do want to give people protection here. Rafael, what has changed in your viewpoint? How have you followed this debate?
Well, yes, this is a long-term development. I think I would slightly disagree that, you know, this debate about Germany being a country of immigration, I think that's shifted already for some more time than just in the last, you know, say 3-4 years. But of course, it's accelerated and it's become ever more sort of open. And I think one first point of reference I would come back to, not only in terms of like long-term sort of the guest workers program in the 60s, but it's also the experience we made in the 90s with refugees from the wars of Yugoslavia, who then also in large numbers came to Germany and caused the first sort of asylum crisis, in inverted commas. And I think from that time, we certainly have moved on. And even those conservative actors that are now stressing the need to return people or assist voluntary return, they are not, I think, where they have been at that time, when really also in the 90s, we had very many heartbreaking stories about people who were living in Germany for years, have integrated, and then they were forcibly or at least tried to be deported. And I think what's shifted now is that, you know, in the 2000s, I think Germany, with ups and downs, and also the early 2010s, were doing relatively well, you know, economically up and down, but we profited a lot from migration from other European countries. First, there was enlargement, and then there was the economic crisis where lots of other European countries, European nationals came to Germany. And this filled our labor market. But this potential has been running low and is actually mostly exhausted, and also from other neighboring countries like the Western Balkans. And so this kind of need to have non-European migration also as an essential part to keep our economy running has come to the fore again, like it was in the 60s. And that's where this kind of circle closes. And I think here we also still have to do some work. Yes, I think it's totally legitimate and fine to say also we want to steer and manage migration in a way that profits our welfare and our economy. But of course, we also have to remember, we're not just getting robots or machines, we're getting persons with rights and with families. And they're also not just here to work for us, but they will also want to have a part in our society. And they, yes, have to integrate. But yes, they also have a right to shape and contribute in a way that they seem fit. So I think this is what we're seeing, that while, say, on the conservative side, or the even more to the right, this kind of utility is, you know, very much stressed. And even AfD voters, apparently, in some poll, don't want to have people deported who are working. To move beyond that and also say, okay, but these are also going to be citizens in sometime in the next few years, and they also have a stake in this country beyond just being workers. And I think there we still have to do a good amount of work. But, well, it remains tense. I don't know where it's going to go, but I think this change in Syria provides also an opportunity to have such a debate and not just see Germany as this kind of humanitarian actor, which some on the right think has gone too far, and to bring it to the fore that we really need these people as well. And so therefore, we have to change our stance to some extent.
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European current affairs programme Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge, bringing you a combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Join us every Thursday.
And I think it always helps to factualise things. So, Rafael, again, if you could just share with us the different categories of Syrians that are in Germany? Because that, I think, helps to differentiate when you look at who are we actually talking about when we ask the questions, you know, are Syrians going to leave Germany?
Yeah, here it has to get a bit technical. I mean, so on the one hand, there are now a growing number of Syrians who have become Germans, and we have liberalized citizenship laws quite substantially over the last few years. So it used to be very difficult, and now it's actually quite liberal in comparison also internationally. So basically after 5 years, and if you're integrated and you know, provide for your own means of living, you have a chance. So that becomes very real. So we will have more Syrian Germans, as we had in the sort of clip on the hospital. Then we have a small group of people who are genuine personal asylum cases. Then we have a relatively large group, about 200 something thousand, who are Geneva Convention refugees, which are sort of like asylum refugees, though they are generally prosecuted. And then there is this large group of so-called subsidiary protection. So this is what most people who don't work on this don't usually understand, the difference between the Geneva protection and the subsidiary protection. So the subsidiary protection basically means you don't necessarily personally are at risk in some particular political category or because of your race or your religion, but there are good reasons to say a return to your home country would be very dangerous because, you know, there is war or you might be drafted to the army and so on. And this is a lower status, still allows you to stay. But of course, this is also a status that could be potentially withdrawn more easily. Like technically, still, there are a lot of legal steps to be taken. But if the general situation in Syria is such that you can't say the country as such is general dangerous, then this kind of category of subsidiary protection with 300 something thousand could be potentially those who would be sort of told, well, now it's you have to go back. But we have to be clear to the Syrians here in Germany that, yes, you are not one block, and some people really have a stable stay, and some, well, it may change. But then also, of course, it's a process of years, and you can also do your part to, you know, move from one category to the other. And on the German side, yes, as was also mentioned in this Bundestag debate, we have different groups, people who work, who don't, people who have different protection status, and we need to have this fine-grained understanding. So I think that's a mature migration debate, I think, that we are working towards.
And this is where I would like to make a point of describing the differences we're now seeing in the party political spectrum in the run-up to these elections, because the conservative CDU-CSU, Angela Merkel's party, wants to scrap that subsidiary protection. They want to, as they say, return to the original commitment of the Geneva Conventions, which is a lower standard than the asylum laws Germany currently has in place. And then you have the Social Democrats and the Greens, who I would categorize pretty much in a similar camp, who very much more stress the whole concept of being an immigration country and of humanitarian protection. And then at the far right end of the spectrum, you have the far right Alternative for Germany party, who actually is talking of repatriations of large groups and would really want to go down to the bare minimum, while at the same time, and I think that's a really interesting differentiation, there's a recognition of the contribution of migrants implicit in that, that they want to be highly selective on who has the right to stay, and people who are in vital industries should be allowed to stay.
But when they talk about... go on, Rafael.
I just wanted to make a footnote here.
Please.
Just one footnote, as we heard it in his speech. I mean, where we stand politically, and of course it's also okay to have a conservative migration policy, but certainly we should absolutely not sort of take on this speech of re-migration. This is this term the AfD is using, which is like, it's a devious term because it sounds technical and sort of manageable, but actually it means putting everything at sort of disposal and telling even people potentially with German citizenship, well, you're not real Germans.
Absolutely. I was also going to make that point.
To some kind of ethnic homogeneity. So this is a term we should absolutely kind of try to fight against as being normalized. And
because it also then becomes arbitrary, right? It becomes arbitrary who gets to decide if you can't even rely on things like passports. You know, people have gone through a process And then if the AfD says we're going to potentially also choose people who have a German passport because they're second-class citizens because they weren't given the passport at birth. I completely agree with you. That is important to point out.
Yes. And at the same time, I also want to, because you were talking about passports and citizenship, the Conservative CDU, and it just shows how this is becoming more mainstream. And we have seen a shift of the center towards the right on the whole issue of migration. Also sees that intends to be able to strip people of their German citizenship if they are double citizens, citizens of several countries, if they commit serious criminal offences. And that is all also quite something. I've also, in a few months ago, in a press conference by Friedrich Merz, who's a Conservative Chancellor candidate now, running against...
And a potential successor of Olaf Scholz.
Yes, and if you look at the polling, a likely successor, he also wouldn't rule out, at that moment in time, changing the German constitution, which could, if you think it through, put the whole question of whether asylum should remain in the German constitution, enshrined in the German constitution, on top of the international law commitment Germany has made. That is all something that is being debated.
Mm.
So it just shows that we went within a decade from Angela Merkel's open arms policy to the very question of how strong is Germany's commitment to asylum in its own constitution.
Absolutely. And that almost sounds like the end. But Raphael, some aspects that we may not have touched on, is there anything that you would like to add?
I mean, I just wanted to add here that okay, there is election campaigning, and a lot of migration politics is about symbols and about showing the electorate we're doing something, and the reality may be a bit more complex. But what is particularly to note here is that in technical legal terms, what matters most is EU law here, not whatever is the German constitution, as strange as it sounds. So EU law is the one that is primary here, and so it may be a just a symbolic move to discuss this while knowing that actually these things are decided at the EU, or, and this is the other question, and we saw this in the summer, the German conservatives are ready and gearing up to an even bigger fight to, you know, basically overturn EU law, and there are many other European countries who think that way, and change the whole system across beyond Germany. And I think this is going to be something we're going to see next year. And of course, Syria is one of those focal points. The European Council is going to discuss it. Neighboring countries are discussing it. And we will see around Syria how much the debate in Europe as a whole will move, change the asylum system.
In fact, the conservative politician Jens Spahn, who was the first one to call for paying Syrian migrants 1,000 euros to go back to Syria, he's also on record as saying that he predicts within the next 5, 10, 15 years that European borders, the outside borders of the European Union, will be essentially closed to migrants.
You spoke to him this week, and I would just like, before we go, I would like to hear him explain his philosophy.
We need to put an end to the message that is there in the world. Once you made it to the European Union, you can stay almost for sure, and you get social benefits almost for sure from day on. And so actually, if we don't end that message, then we can't get to control over irregular migration.
So there you go, a conservative politician who will quite likely see in a potential conservative-led government as a member of cabinet, sending a very clear message just shortly before the snap elections in February. And my guess is the first 100 days will show us how much of that was election rhetoric and messaging and how much will actually translate into a policy change here.
And I think we'll probably come back to this topic a lot because, of course, the situation in Syria is evolving. German diplomats are on the ground trying to make contact with the current rulers, with a transitional government, trying to explore possibilities of reopening a mission there, etc. Because, of course, that would also be a requirement. If people were to return to Syria, you would also need to have people in place in the country to receive the people, the returnees from Germany. So thanks very much for today to Raphael and to Michaela here in the studio and over there in Tallinn. And maybe if you want to think of words that you find interesting, German words that are your favorite German words? Because we started with Wir schaffen das, Zeitenwende and Angst. Do let us know what your favorite German word is. Write to us. You can send an email to newsletter@dw.com. You can also find us on YouTube at DW News. There is a newsletter, a Berlin briefing newsletter that comes out Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe. That's at dw.com. Berlin Briefing. And next week, we will be back here in this studio with an episode on the far-right AfD, and we'll give you everything that we think you should know about the party so that you're well informed. But of course, there's also Christmas and holidays between now and then. So if you're celebrating, have a great time, and thanks for watching.